thank you, and we have to resume where we left the submission of Mr. Sehume. And Mr. Sehume, once again, over to you.
Thank you, Chief. I ended up saying I'd reported the case to the Law Society. But before the Law Society could act, this lawyer called me to tell me that he had, I don't know, he, by that time, he hadn't interacted with the Law Society. He told me that my case was enrolled for the 6th, I think the 6th of December, I'm not quite sure, at the Labor Court. So the 6th of December, we should go to the Labor Court. And then on that particular day at the Labor Court, there was no representative from the Health Department. And this very lawyer was nowhere to be found. And then, that being the case, I went to the registrar, I don't know if they call them registrar at court, to find out as to why the representative of the Department of Health are not there, and what happened to my lawyer. Had he been there in the morning, perhaps the case was postponed. This guy told me that your case was removed from the unopposed roll. It was set on an unopposed roll because my employer could not be the head of argument. And my lawyer decided to agree with my employer, that is the Department of Health, that the case be removed from an unopposed roll to give them an opportunity to submit heads of argument. Up to this day, 12 years later, the case has never been put on a roll. But now when they, Law Society decide, I mean, interacted with my lawyer, they gave me an opportunity to respond to my complaints and allegations. And he wrote a letter back to them saying that Mr. Sehume has a habit of disappearing. I cannot find him anywhere when I want him. I wanted to tell him, or I told him, that the case has been removed from the unopposed roll because the employer said I did not comply with Rule 7, what have you, this legal thing. So I decided to remove it from the unopposed roll to give the employer chance to, or to give me a chance to comply with Rule 7, whatever. I don't know what that rule is, but it suits my record. That being the case, he went further in his letter to the Law Society that the employer, that is the Department of Health, wanted to settle out of court. But we could not find Mr. Sehume anywhere and not be able to find. You see, these people are hiding about behind the fact that this guy, Sehume, is a psychiatric case, so whatever they say goes. So they could not find me anywhere to make me aware that they are settling out of court. The Department of Health is settling out of court. That being the case, when I went back to the Law Society, the Law Society advised me to drop this man. That is to terminate his services and get another lawyer, because they were going to deal with him, I don't know, disciplinary hearing or whatever. So I engaged another lawyer. This lawyer took me to certain offices, giving me the impression that those offices were his offices. Only to find that this guy is an advocate and he operates from the boot of a car. So when he wants to get the money from a client, he takes the client to those offices and then he introduces you to the owner of the office. I don't know whether he's a lawyer or that, telling you that that person, because I cannot approach him directly as an advocate, that person should become an instructing attorney and then himself is an advocate, so he's going to take my case, being instructed by that very person. So in my fees, he's got to pay that person a certain fee, and the other money comes to him. Fine. That guy never also gave me a progress report. And then the last time I was with him, he used to meet with Nando's chicken licking, whatever, this fast food outlet. When I phoned him and said I wanted to see you, he would say, meet me at Nando's in Alberton to give you a feedback because I'm not in the office. I was at court. You can meet me in Nando's. I'll tell you exactly what is going on with the case. When I met him there, he told me that my file had disappeared from the labor court, the main file. I said, if my file had disappeared from the labor court, I don't have a problem with that, because I went to the labor court because I realized that these people are up to no good. At some point in time, this file will disappear. So I went to the labor court, asked them for my file, and made copies and returned it to the labor court and signed for it. So I had a full file to myself. I said, you can make copies from this file and proceed with the case. That man disappeared up to today. A certain advocate, Buella. And it appears I met this guy in Tzaneen, Limpopo. By then, I didn't know that he was an advocate. We were with Dr. Motsoaledi, the Minister of Health, invited by Dr. Sikiti, who was being put as a chief in the place of his father. There's a place in Tzaneen called Hasikiti. So he was going to be crowned or whatever as a chief. So we met Dr. Motsoaledi there, and this very guy, the advocate, because we were all invited in that place. Because when I was talking to him about that meeting, he told me that I saw you at Tzaneen. You were also invited by Dr. Sikiti. I don't know why you call it crowning. Those are these chiefs or installed a chief or whatever. I don't know this terminology being used with regard to putting a man as a chief. Nevertheless, that's what had happened. Now, Buella disappeared, the man I met at Tzaneen, with my money. I had to get another lawyer. That lawyer, Rumalo, he also disappeared. And then I got another one, Makopo. Makopo didn't disappear because I knew his offices. He never relocated or moved to offices. He also did not give me a progress report. But with Makopo, it was a different case in that Makopo didn't ask for money up front. Instead, Makopo told me that the Department of Health has no leg to stand on to defend this case. This case is cut and dry. I'll get to have 25% of whatever money you'll be getting. They call it a contingency fee. He said it was going charge me contingency fee after the case is settled. But now, what is funny with Mr. Makopo? Mr. Makopo did not give me progress report, did not proceed with the case. I kept going back to him to find out as to what the position is regarding my case. He kept on saying, these people are deciding to settle out of court. But they were never settling. It's now 12 years. These people are settling, and they are not settling. Now, this Makopo decided that he was not going to proceed with my case because he is having problems with some people at head office. I don't know if those people are trying to bribe him or to tell him to conduct this case in a certain manner that will sort of make the Department of Health appear as if they are not in breach of any employment contract between me and them. So he says, he told me that he was withdrawing from the case because he's having difficulty with the Department of Health. Now, I came to realize that these people are trying to bribe all these lawyers not to proceed because they think I might get a lot of money out of this case because of what had happened to me. I went to an Indian lawyer. A certain delay. Said he wanted 6,000 on the spot. My brother paid him 6,000. This lawyer too never proceeded with the case. She kept on telling me because he's a woman that she had taken the case to her advocate who was going to write the Hyderabad argument. That advocate she had taken the file to, up to now she's still writing those heads of argument. I went to the public protector never did anything. He said they wrote me a letter. In that letter they were saying it was written by a senior advocate working for public protector. In that letter he was saying they are going to meet on a certain date to decide about my reinstatement. And that senior advocate never communicated with me again after that letter. But what is funny about the letter, he had written the letter to me, but the subject matter was somebody else, was a certain Masuka me of the Department of Health. It was not me. Neither was it my department. That is the Department of Health. So, he also did nothing about my case. I kept going back to the public protector, and my cases were taken by different people. You know, it was like they are opening up a file every time I go there. So the last time I went to the public protector was about a month ago, because I was angry and hurt in the manner they treat me. When I came in through the door, I saw one of the guys who disappeared with my file, a certain advocate Marumo. This guy, I came to inquire about my case, and he said to me, I cannot be found in the system. I said, but how can I not be found in the system when I reported this case several times with the public protector? So, he said to me, the files that you're having, I'm going to make photostat copies. And having made photostat copies, I can see you don't look well. Go home, and then you'll come in, because I don't have time to make photostat copies now. Go home and come and fetch this, your copies the following day, or whenever you have time. I went to the public protector several times. I couldn't find this man. Then he was on the road show with Tulima Donzela. Then he was in Sani. Then he was in the Eastern Cape. And then this Sibongile, I said, the other advocate, a lady. I said, Sibongile, Could you make it a point that I need the public protector herself to the emergency? And she gave me the lady she's working with who makes such appointments. That lady was very angry with me, in that I wanted to see the public protector when there are people who could help me. She said, the public protector is not here, she's on a roadshow. And being on the roadshow, why don't you address your problems with the people at the floor? Now I was becoming a sort of a laughing stock, because each time I wanted to come and find out about my case, as I'm seated down there, they would be appearing on top there, there's a, I don't know what to call it, but they could see you when I see them. They were calling each other to come and look at me. That is that old man. Now I'm looking at them, they're talking about me, but I don't know what they're saying about me. But I gained the impression that these people know exactly what is happening with my case, but they do not want to tell me directly. That's what is going on, what is obtaining. So when I went to the public protector at some point, because I used to go to the public protector for my house on foot. That's why now I cannot even put on shoes. My feet are hurting. Because walking distance, you can imagine walking from Midrand to Pretoria on foot at 3:30 in the morning, because I don't have money for transport. Just to go and see the people at the public protector. And when I come there, I don't get a satisfactory answer. Is that so-and-so is not in, and then we cannot see your file. You are no more in the system. You will have to re-register the case. So the last time, 3 weeks or a month ago, when I came in through the door, I saw them where they usually stand. It's like when you get in, they see you and they call others to come and look at you. There's that man coming in. I started talking from the door that you only interested in cases of high-profile people. That's what the public protector is doing. Cases of ordinary people, you do not attend to. So I'm inclined to believe that you people also receive bribes. That simply because I'm not a high-profile personality, you receive bribes, you compromise my position with regard to what is supposed to be happening to me. And they told me that you've got to open another file. Now, who opens a file, or who instructs somebody to open a file on, for me, is this very guy I saw 10, 12 years ago. A certain senior advocate, Maoka. He called another lady to come and open a file for me. They are going to start afresh. I'm talking about a month or 3 weeks to a month ago. They are going to open a file afresh. Now, one guy was advising. The best thing you should do about this case, go to the electronic and print media so that that can draw the attention of Chuduma Donzela to your case. When you appear in the newspapers or on TV, this program, 702, Ridi Kavi. So if you could go there and you present your case to them, then Chuduma Donzela will respond. Because with the public protector, you won't get any satisfaction. There are a lot of people who are complaining. And those people who are complaining about the public protector's office are not high-profile people who have money. Are ordinary people in the street who have no so-called titles. So, there are a lot of people who go to the public protector's office and complain about their cases that are not being solved. And indeed, at some point there was a lady there, he had also gone local. Because he had come into to the public protector for years and her case was not being attended.
Okay, let's do it this way, Dr. Soumi.
I hear that also the public protector has failed you. But I thought you will just, you know, indicate it.
I'll just give you the scene and
continue.
Okay, thank you.
The issue of, you know,
which is this problem of time constraints.
Not necessarily, but I would want us so that we capture the essence of
the essence of it.
We want to do.
Nevertheless, I opened another case as a public protector. I don't know what we'll be doing about it now. So, whilst I was waiting, I told the guy who advised me to go to the electronic and print media that I'm a very private person. I don't like my affairs to be broadcast on TV or on newspapers, because it's going to, my children are professional people, and that will affect them, their professional integrity. So I'm protecting my children and myself because I'm very private. I don't want people to know about my cases. And I do not want to portray the employer and my government in a bad light because I haven't exhausted all avenues. I would like to exhaust all avenues, and if all fail, then I'll go where you people direct me, maybe to the electronic or print media. But now, my case had already been reported to Parliament, the NCOP. They also have failed me on several occasions. And then after I told those people, then I got a call from Mr. Majima. I should come to Cape Town on a certain date. They'll pay for my accommodation and transport. That's why I'm here today. But my case is still the same. I don't know if this committee will act like the two previous committees. But when I was listening to your deliberations that side, that is the other room, when Mr. Mkhize was making a presentation, I had hope, because I could see that you are engaging with issues. You are interrogating issues. I realized that if this committee had been there before, maybe my case would have long been solved. I started developing confidence in you guys. Confidence that I never had. Because when I was talking with them, Ms. Madima was there at Council and Son Hotel, who after I went in this, because they came to see me in Kinshasa. They look like people who do not have direction. I mean, a guy in my position, you can see if so there is a direction in whatever body you are trying to seek help. To me, they never gave me the impression of people who had a clear-cut policy as to how they are going to handle my case. And especially the outcome of the case. They said I should submit some more information, and then I tried to gather that information, but I couldn't get Mr. Madima. I couldn't get the chairman of that committee that said at that time. I couldn't get anybody of that until I bumped against a certain lady called Kijima, or what? Nomvula, what have you. And this guy said, this lady said she would look into my case. And she disappeared from the scene. When I was looking for her, I couldn't find her anymore. But subsequent to all these problems that I've had, my wife divorced me. And that divorce went the same way as my case at work. Nothing was conducted in the manner it should have been. There were a lot of irregularities.
date was set for the 5th of July, that is when it was, 2005. But my lawyer decided to call me, and it's a very prominent law firm in Pretoria, Shapiro and Shapiro. They informed me and said I should come and see them. That was the somewhat in November 2004. When I went there, Shapiro, the old man there, the owner of the law firm, introduced a certain young Afrikaner to me and said, this guy is an advocate, he's going to help you. But helping you, you must pay $25,000 upfront, because advocate fees are very expensive, high, whatever. So I went to talk to my brother, who is a businessman, brother cousin. So he paid that $25,000. And then this guy told me that on Friday you must come and see me for consultation, because the case is going to be heard on the 5th of July 2005. That was 2004 November. So I went to see him on that Friday, only to find that this guy takes me into his car together with a certain white lady. He is also an advocate. They drove with me to the divorce court. When he came there, he said, we are settling the case now, here and now. He said, this is the only opportunity to settle this case because you are sick. And then you being sick, you cannot afford to go through these stresses. We are settling it here and now. But I'm going to make sure that the house belongs to you. You are telling me. And I'm drafting this thing. And when I wait, what he was telling me, I said, if the house belongs to me, then what am I fighting for? Because this woman has already maybe taken his money away, put it away. We may never find it. But if they are in that accident, the house is going to belong to me, then maybe it's okay. This guy says, I'm drafting the husband now. But I could not read his handwriting. And I said, but I cannot read your handwriting as to exactly what you are saying here about the house. He said, trust me, I'm your advocate. I'm saying this. The house is going to belong to you. Your wife has agreed to surrender the house to you because you are not more working. She's still working. Blah, blah.
You signed it. I signed that agreement. And promised me to come and get a copy at their office, Shapiro's office.
And the copy say, I must give my wife half share. And I don't have money. That agreement. And that's not, that's exactly the opposite of what he told me. So now, Oba said, let's give them these people the half share and see how this case is going to end. As a businessman, he took out that half share, $334,000 gain, about 12 years ago, 10 years ago. He took out that $334,000. Having given them the $334,000, they stayed for some time without transferring the half share of my wife to my name. A year later comes a letter. They are going to court. This liquidator has applied to take the house from me and sell it on auction because I did not comply with certain things. I didn't give him guarantees, whatever. You know, I couldn't understand what he said. Because the half share has been paid. All what was supposed to be done was that the 245Bs, there's a certain clause, 45Bs, then the house is transferred to whoever had the right of first refusal. But now, instead of the house being transferred to me, I was supposed to go to court, the house would be sold on auction. So now, whilst We're waiting for the date, the 19th of March 2007. I took all the documents, the divorce decree, the court settlement agreement, the letter of acknowledgement of receipt of the money that was paid to us, the half share, to the deeds office in Bosman Street, to go and ask the registrar of the deeds office that in this case, what do I do? Because on the 19th, I'm going to court. They are taking the house. You're going to sell it on auction. And then this advocate took these copies, divorce decree, court settlement agreement, letter of acknowledgement that they received the money. In fact, they even thanked me in that letter that I had complied with the court settlement agreement. He took those in and started, I don't know what he was doing on the computer, but after some time, he told me, I'm giving you this that comes out of the computer. It's called a caveat. I don't know if you people know about a caveat, which is an interdict that nobody is going to take this house from you because you have satisfied all the requirements of the court settlement agreement. So when you go to court on the 19th, don't show your lawyer this interdict or caveat. No, the lawyers representing your wife together with the liquidator. So I went to court. I had this caveat in my pocket. So when I came to court, I was the first person at court. I think I was at court at about 8 o'clock in the morning. So my lawyer came at about 8:15. A certain Mr. Mlambo, who I learned was or seated there, that he's now an advocate. I mean, he's now a judge. And I'm going to the Judicial Services Council about this appointment. So now, I heard him as a judge while I was sitting. So now I'm having this caveat in my pocket. My lawyer is here. He says, he asks me, where are the people representing your wife and the liquidator? He said, no, I came here at 8 o'clock and they've never been here. He says, okay, we agreed that we'll meet here at 8:15. Seeing that they're not here, let me go through the corridors of the court building. Maybe I'll find them somewhere. Whilst he was going looking for them, I'm seated here on the bench. Here comes out my wife's attorney, together with the liquidator and the magistrate from the private chambers. The magistrate is taking them halfway. And when she came to the door, they started shaking hands. And these guys went into the coffee shop. The magistrate got back to her private chambers. Now my lawyer comes and says, I cannot find them. I said, no, these people we are looking for were with the magistrate in the private chamber. And the magistrate took them halfway. They shook hands at the door. Says, no, they were not supposed to do that. I'm going to do ABC. But now when I looked at this guy in the eye, I could see that this guy is bluffing. He knows about the arrangement, sort of. So he went into the coffee bar to talk to those people. They came out and then started deliberating and sitting down. My lawyer came to me and said, listen, these people are no more going to sell your house. Provided you can have the half share of your wife registered in your home, I mean in your name within a month. There's a young lady who is a conveyancer. She was at the varsity with my daughter. And this young lady knows about my case. My daughter told her about my case. So I immediately said to this lawyer, Mlambo, I said, no, I've got a lawyer who is a conveyancer. He's my daughter's friend. We'll do the transfer, maybe within a month. He said, give me your daughter's friend's number. I gave him the number. He phoned this lady. This lady said, I know about Mr. Sigmund's case. And knowing about it, there are certain things that I'll do. I can even do it within a month. I mean, within a week. That is the Lord's man. So this guy became disappointed. I could see on his face that he was disappointed about the answer that he got from Google. When he went back to those guys, they started deliberating quietly. And these two white guys were busy looking at their watches as they were talking with him. Now, at 11 o'clock, those guys somehow stood up with their cases, headed for court. This Mulambo guy sheepishly followed them into court. Sheepishly. Was walking far behind them. They got into court. And when we got there, they're taking positions. And there was a matter in progress. Somebody whose matter was being heard. This magistrate, as soon as we got in, told the guy who was in the witness box, "You'll have to step down. I want to deal with this case. This case is urgent. It has been going on for a long time." Now, I was surprised because there were lots of other lawyers here who had come for different cases. And this guy came out of the witness box, and then the magistrate says, "Where's Mrs. Sigmund's file?" They gave her the file. It was somewhere in the furniture. But now, what was funny about the whole exercise? She never opened the file to acquaint herself with the contents of the file. The file was still closed. It was put on a, I don't know what you call that, a desk or whatever. It was put in front of her. She never opened it. And she started pointing at me, in court, seated amongst people. "That old man down there thinks it's clever. He has been wasting our time. I'm not here to deal with his case only. I deal with the many other cases for the whole public of South Africa. So he thinks it's clever. I'm going to deal with your case now. And who's going to present first?" The public, the liquidator, sorry. The public, the liquidator started talking. But I couldn't hear because I was seated at the back. And apparently he was talking Afrikaans. But I do understand Afrikaans because I was seated far behind. And as we were talking, then he sat down. Apparently, he had made a good presentation to the ministry. Then it was a chance of this Mawasu Atele to make a presentation. He nearly stood up, rather, because he's a man, to concur with what the liquidator had said. And he sat down. It was now the chance of my lawyer to present my case. The magistrate went ballistic. He shouted at the top of his voice. You know, the manner in which he behaved, there's a term that we used to use in the township. "Give her drag yourself as a strap mate." She behaved like a strap mate, not a ministry. She blew her top, went ballistic, and said, "I'm not going to listen." She was saying to my lord, "I'm not going to listen to you. This old man thinks he's clever because he's more educated than all of us here." He said, "No." And these very lawyers who were seated in front were surprised as to what was happening with the ministry. And she goes further to say, "I'm going to grant the order anyway." My lawyer never had a chance to put my case or to present my case. And she said, "The order is granted. The file still being closed." She could have opened the file to acquaint herself with the contents of the file and come to a decision. Since the order is granted, and then she gave the file, folded it to us, to the people who, I think they help us in the court, "Go and have the orders typed." And he You just sit, you don't talk, you don't do anything. You wait for those orders to come from whatever office. And indeed, after about 10 minutes, that guy came with a file together with the two orders that the house been sold on public auction. And then gave them to the magistrate. The magistrate said to the public protector, here's an order. You can now go and do whatever you deem fit with the house. And the other copy he gave to my wife's attorney. And uttered the same words. And then court, stand up in court.
Chairperson. Chair. Sorry, just to interrupt, just a correction, Mr. You said they gave one copy to the public protector. Did you mean the liquidator?
The liquidator.
Oh, right.
I meant the liquidator, sorry. Thanks for the correction. Now if you stand up in court, we have to go out. And then at the door, I asked my lawyer. And there's a rule, I don't know what patam. You must hear the other side of this. Altaram patam rule. You never talked. This lady stopped you from talking. And what do you say about the matter? My lawyer said, I'm no more going to proceed with this case because I don't deal with people who are involved in corruption. You'll have to go and get yourself another lawyer. And you come to my offices with me. I'm going to give you a letter of exactly what has happened in court. And then you can take that letter and give it to whatever lawyer you have engaged to represent you. Indeed, when he came to his offices, he drafted that letter. But now I said to him, after having read the letter, before he signed it, I said, but you never mentioned all what had happened in court. You never talked about the fact that the magistrate, I don't know if it is the magistrate or the people who helped, their operations were switched off. There was no recording of that case. Because as we are seated there, this red light that shows that the recording operations are working was not on. I said, I made you aware when you got into court as I was walking behind you. That, I mean, as we were walking out, that this case was heard without being recorded. But now you never mentioned. Said, no, whoever will be representing you, I will come and give witness regarding that. But it suffices here. Now, when we went to court at the residence to ask for our copy of the order, it was written in this order that the magistrate listened to both parties and came to a determination that the house be taken and so on. But he never listened to my lawyer. And that very day, because of the, I don't know what you call it, at his office, there is a track record of activities that go on in about the property in question. That very day, these guys left court. They went to the district office to lodge a transfer, apparently on their name or somebody's name. And that interdict or caveat rendered that lodgement null and void. They couldn't succeed. Now, not succeeding, this very black lawyer that had engaged phones me and asked me, why did you go to this office and apply for an interview? I said, don't you see that interview help you because you were unable to represent me? So the interview made these guys fail to do whatever they intended to do. They said, yeah, but you should have told me about it. Meaning that if I had told him that I had the interview or the caveat on the property, they were going to change the strategy. So this thing hit them below the belt. they exposed themselves for what they intended to do. So now, it was a question of me going to look for another lawyer to apply for, they call it rescission of that, yes, of judgment. Yeah. So I got a certain guy. That guy knows his story. You know, the way he explained to me the legal side of things, that if those people, if you didn't go to the deeds office, that interview, that order issued by the magistrate was going to override the court settlement agreement. And overriding the court settlement agreement, they were going to sell the house. I don't know who advised you to come for an interdict on a caveat. I said, no, I just wanted to find out from the deeds office that when one is confronted with a situation like this, what do you do? I was not going to apply because I did not know about a caveat. I got this word from you that this thing is called a caveat. So that caveat, I mean that order of the magistrate was going to override the court settlement agreement. I was going to lose my house, the money that I paid in the half share, and at the same time, I was going to get a very big bill that the case has been dragging on, getting the bill from this Mulambo guy. I was going to get it, but now I could not get it because all their evil plans had failed. That having happened, when I came to this other advocate, he told me that before you can proceed with the case, you have to approach Mulambo. But first you have to talk to him telephonically. I must give him Mulambo's number. I gave him Mulambo's number because Mulambo had recused himself from the case because he didn't want to deal with people involved in corruption. So when he phoned Mulambo, Mulambo says, I'm looking for that guy. When he answers there, the new guy, he says, I'm looking for that guy. That guy has disappeared. He owes me money. That's why I cannot go on with his case. He doesn't say he recused himself. He says, I'm owing him some money. That's why I'm owing. Now, this man says, we know about clients like you. You jump from one lawyer to another because you don't want to pay your dues with your previous lawyer. Go back to your lawyer. When I came to Mulambo and said, how much money do I owe? When I asked him, how much money do I owe you? He said, you gave me 2,000, you owe me another 10,000. I said, listen, I engaged you. In a week, there was only one consultation. And we went to court. And then, having gone to court, this is what had happened. Now, where is the money, other money coming from? For what services? Says, no, unless you pay me that money, I don't proceed with the case. I deleted it. Until such time, I received a letter. This letter was not intended for me. It was intended for the liquidator and my wife's attorney, because apparently he sent copies to them. This Mulambo was saying in that letter, this guy is not paying me, so you should pay me 8,000, couple of hundred from the joint estate. And then when I saw this letter, I went back to Mulambo. I said, how can you write to those people to pay you from the joint estate, whereas I was asking you as to how much I should still pay for what you did for that one day and the consultation that you had with me for a day two. And you said, no, I'll reduce it to 2,300. You owe me 2,300. He had forgotten that he had been giving me letters. But this letter Tabasan did it, where he demanded payment, there was no date there as to when he wrote the letter. So I said to my brother, Sihume, let's pay this man the balance of the money you owe. But in the letter, because he had not been giving us receipts. You know these lawyers, when they don't pay in cash, they don't give you receipts. So he has not been giving me receipts. So let's draft this thing to work as a receipt and say, so much paid, outstanding so much, as full payment, and then we sign it and we make him sign. And indeed, when we're taking this 2,300, we had already signed our form. He signed and he gave us the signed copy back. He kept a copy. That Mulambo guy started going on with the case, but this time, on his own, he started corresponding with those people as if he was still representing me. Whereas he had recused himself from the case. So he was writing a lot of letters. I don't know if he was still going to charge me for those letters until he heard that I intend reporting him to the Law Society. And when I went to the Law Society, the man was not a member. He was not registered. I've got this on record in my file. Even the letters that he had been writing to me, I've got them in the file. So now I've got that problem that the liquidator never attended to my wife's financial issues. Instead, he specifically looked at the house. But having looked at the house, he never attempted to transfer the house himself to my name. I had to engage other people. But while they were busy with the process, he stopped it. That is my wife's attorney. Said, he's got to do the transfer himself. Whereas the Court argument stipulates very clearly that Mr. Boy and my wife's attorney can only deal with the transfer if the property is bought by the third party. But this time it was bought, the half share was bought by me. So somebody different had to do the transfer. But he insisted that he wanted to do the transfer. When we resisted, he engaged another guy. That guy wanted 120,000 for transfer. It was on record. That is some of the letters that disappeared with Mr. Marume, the public project. I have no record of it. So Mr. Marume disappeared with all my letters and then some of the things that could have added meat to this case. So, eventually, anyway, they relented that guy who wanted handled me something to me. Transfer my wife had said to my name, decided to do it for 4,841. But I've got a letter where he wanted a big amount. And then having transferred it, they never change the ownership of the house from the local authority. It was only changed in this office. But now, when I went to the local authority to have my wife's name removed, they said my lawyer who did the conveyancing should have written them a letter. I should go and get a letter from the conveyancer appointed by my wife's attorney. And that guy refused. That is, as far as the house is concerned. Now, all the other debts that accrued during our marriage. My children at university, their credit cards and all that were given to me to pay. My wife got scot-free. Now the money that I was supposed to get from the money invested with Sanlam, with that lady Aranzen, is going, all of it goes towards paying those debts. NCR, National Credit, whatever. Yeah. It goes towards paying that those debts. How these lawyers decided, not being a working man, to take all the debts accrued during the marriage and put them to be paid by me, I don't know. So I'm now living on a handout. The very children are sort of giving me stipends. But that stipends cannot I cannot provide for myself adequately with the stipends they give me. If a person gives you 1,500 a month, the bulk of that money goes towards electricity, refuse removal, prison, rate and taxes. And what you are left with can hardly sustain you for a week. So I have to do odd jobs from some of my so-called rich friends. Because I had quite influential guys as friends. But now I'm working for them as in I'm in doing odd jobs and then they pay me. And I wouldn't say it's payment, a token of appreciation that you did this for me and then you give me 500 rand. That's why it was and it's still very urgent that this matter should have been addressed a long time ago. It is unfortunate that the people appointed by the government or institutions that came into being because of the present dispensation democracy are not able to help a helpless guy who does not have a certain profile. I'm in this situation because Chapter 9 institutions that are supposed to have addressed my problem have failed me this month. My father died, and my father had written a will in my favor. When my father died, I buried my father because I was looking after my father. Then I put somebody in the house to give me some money for sustenance. Another lady from somewhere who I knew as my cousin's, my late cousin's girlfriend, came and said, the house, my father's house belongs to her. She produced another will. But this will is dubious. And having produced that will, when I went to the local authority offices to inquire as to what should be done, they said you have to engage a lawyer to challenge this lady's will at the Supreme Court. But now I don't have money. And not having money, this lady went further. The file of the house belonging to my late cousin and my father's file, house file, disappeared from the offices of the local authority. They are nowhere to be found. But now, I became fortunate when I was at the Rent Easter show. I went to these people, they call, I've forgotten the name, but anyway, I think I've got their record. These people did what we call search on the computer. And on the computer it appears that from the developers. And when we inquired as to who this developer is, it is the guy who fell in love with this lady after my cousin's death. He's a developer. So this daughter of that lady bought that my father's house from the developer, who it is the mother's boyfriend. So that's where the case is at the moment. I've got original record of my father's house. And you know the old permit, apartheid permit. And this cousin of mine, her house with her, with his wife, now is registered in this lady's name. Because before my cousin died, or before he fell in love with this woman, he had a wife, and he used to abuse that wife of his so much that that woman is indeed mad. You get what I mean? So now him being mad, he had been mad. She never benefited from the husband's death. She lost the house because at the time my cousin was going out with this lady was being nursed at her parents' home for the injury sustained. That is very in short. But I would feel happy really. If I could make another presentation in different circumstances, or if you could ask me questions so that I'd be able to tell you or answer your questions, to interact with the committee, to get clarity on certain issues that you may not have clarified during the presentation. And when you were busy with that committee of justice, what have you with those people, I was seated at the back. As I was listening, I said, my, this Mavunda guy talks so proudly about being a president of Black Lawyers Association. And speaking so proudly about him. He doesn't know that many black lawyers, and not black lawyers only, really, to be fair, but most black lawyers have failed. I think I can make a very great contribution as somebody belonging to the civil society in one of your committees because I've got an experience of how these lawyers operate. When I told some of the guys at the divorce court what had happened, how I saved my house, these guys wanted me to solve their problem. Both Trevor and Kusumitu. This Trevor from Soweto. They wanted, and indeed some of them I solved their problems because I had this experience about how the black lawyers and white lawyers behave sometimes towards uninformed clients.
Well, I will have that. It has been a marathon of course, statements. Of course, it was necessary. Honorable members, you have heard. If there is something you are not clear of, here is the moment to get to be clarified. Any member, any question, and there's nothing wrong if you feel everything was properly outlined to say we are comfortable. Honorable Mahati.
Chair, thank you very much. Let me appreciate, Honorable Chair, the presentation made by the presenter. It's very clear given the scenarios that were narrated to us by the petitioner that there's quite a number of people that are directly or indirectly directly involved, starting from the unfair dismissal allegation to the divorce case and the issue of the property. And I'm not sure, maybe perhaps you need to get light from the side of the officials if there's any stakeholder that has been invited based on the information presented to us. Correctly said by the honorable petitioner with regard to the body ultimate, that we have heard this side of story, and it's not for us as a community to conclude the matter now, given that quite a number of people have indicated are going to assist us to arrive to a particular finding. So maybe I must first get an indication if there's any other stakeholder that has been invited. If there is, then we take it from there.
The person? There are no stakeholders that were invited.
The person just a follow up. It means there's an element of inconsistency with regard to the case of Ntatem Chize. Because of the case itself, that is directly bearing on the Department of Health. Both the province and national were engaged on this matter. And to me, honestly speaking, sounds strange. How did it happen that we invite Dr. Sihume? What was really the rationale? Because I remember even in KZN, we came to a conclusion to say, let's have a feeling of the submission made by the petitioner. Out of it, possible respondents be directly invited. So can you further get clarity? Why are respondents not invited based on the type of this case?
Dr. Madima, is there any clarity you can provide?
Thank you, Sir President. Just last week when the approval was given to us on Friday late, the researcher and myself were trying to solicit exactly who is involved in the matter as responding. And when I spoke specifically to Mr. Sihume, he indicated that there are many people who are involved, but he cannot remember who they are and would not know exactly who can be part of this. However, he did indicate that it was a provincial hospital. Then the researcher and I, we had not finished or finalized to collate who should come and who should not come. So the witness is on my side as well.
That is who meant. Do you have an answer? Because this is an administrative question that should be answered by that.
You see, if the committee interacted with me as to who the respondents are, it is a government institution. And it being a government institution, when those people have died, or have retired or resigned, there are people still working in the department who can answer to this allegation for continuity. You cannot go and exhume a body to come and talk about it. So these people who are alive, they must come and say, why did they write on my so-called resignation that I was a pharmacy assistant, and I've never been a pharmacy assistant. So my post still exists. Some of the things that are very crucial to my presentation, I could not remember as I was presenting. I was a
hospital secretary, the highest administrative post in a hospital. But now, on the so-called resignation from the residency submitted to the Department of Finance, I am a pharmacy assistant. And there are certain documents to the effect that there was a mix-up of pension funds.
I think the area that you asked Majima has proven to him. I'm a bit disappointed because I told him that he should have been inviting the institution that is affected. The person in the office as of now has to answer for all the information as per the record in that disposal. So we don't have to worry about somebody died, somebody's not there. So it's an omission from that side and nothing else, which we don't even have to, you know, seek and hide on it. Honorable Chatty, Honorable Kimby, Honorable Judas, Honorable Manobot, in that order.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, accepting that it has been late and been a long day, I think at the end of the day, what we must all realize here, that justice delayed is indeed justice tonight. This is the second case that we are dealing with today. In the case of Mr. Mchiz, we must realize what he had said to us in passing, that he needs closure because not only is it his daughter, but as well as his family members who are asking him or accusing him as to whether he is implicated in the death of his wife. And Honorable Chairperson, I'm being sincere when I say this, that sometimes people have no other recourse and we are the last. So we need to take this very seriously. I'm the first one to admit that all of us are tired. It's been a long, exhausting day. But people need to do something. And if practitioners come to us at this level right now, that means they've exhausted everything else. But they want some sort of closure. But in saying that, Chair, I think I'm now going to pass the buck to you as well. Fairly or unfairly, but I think I need to say this to you, Chair. Going forward, it's a pity that the petitioner had to be here today without the other correspondents as such. Because all that we've been through now is going to be difficult to go through this again and have those people come back to either refute or allow the petitioner to justify what he has to us now. So therefore, Chairperson, I'm also going to say to you with all due respect, that even at the next time that as petitions we're going to be sitting, I ask for your good self to make sure that the officials have done a checkbox exercise and said these are the things that have to be done before we even get on our agenda. Because as much as it is frustrating for us, I can imagine the frustration for the petitioner as well. We are staying here. He has to leave his house to come back and go back. So, Chair, I just want us to be cautioned that going forward, we can't continue accepting administrative breaches like this. It's come to a point now where, I think you as the Chair need to say, enough is enough. And if it means at the end of the day, Chair, that the line manager has to be here before us as a committee, then let us deal with that. Because this cannot continue. We had a failure in KZA, we had a failure this morning, and a failure again. How many more times before we take this right, Chair? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chetty. You would remember, Honorable Members, that when we left the venue where we held the first hearing, we tried to get the managers to come and answer this allegation. During our ups and downs, indeed they came. I presented the story. That did not intend to replace your engaging them, but I gave them the frustration of the committee that the frustration that I've been going through have surpassed my level, have now started, you know, getting into the nerves of members, and we need to come to, you know, an end of that frustration. I'm just accepting that we will try and then make sure that we get that. Honorable Tundi.
Chairperson, thank you. Otherwise, I'm covered, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat because it's late now. But I would like to appeal to Mr. Schumer that he was talking about out of court settlement. This is a woman. Out of court settlement. Do you have anything in writing?
Yes, I got it from the notary.
So it was not.
What the previous writing was saying? Out of court settlement.
Yes.
Other things, the thing is better. These people want to settle out of court.
Then from the hospital.
From the Department of Health.
Yes, okay.
Because is it at that level.
You get that letter that they
No, I've got the one from the first attorney that I took to the law society. He had to answer to the allegations that I made at the law society. That he was trying to get hold of me, he couldn't find me.
Sorry, I want to know whether the hospital, to have a letter from the hospital that you want.
No.
It was the letter
see,
from
it is, the... It is not the hospital. Point of order.
Sorry, sir. I think I'm very sorry, man, to be speaking direct to...
The point of order is that the Honorable Member Chairperson should be directing the questions to you direct, because there will be dialogue here. I'm not going to finish. Thank you, sir.
I left it for him because he wants a direct answer, which will then make him to proceed forward.
Yes.
Because... coming to me, it was then said we are saying no to the question.
Yes.
I left it for that and I'm thinking.
Otherwise, I was going to...
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you, sir. I was going to advise the member if there is that letter submitted to the chairperson, because I think that letter is very important, that there is something in writing that the department or the hospital want to settle this thing out of court. Thank you, sir.
I'm sure I might have made an omission. I engaged in that as woman. In the bag, he had a reasonable size of papers that I said he will provide to Madima before he left Cape Town. Madima will reproduce and then give every one of us a file. So that by the time we deliberate, we would then have a benefit of reference to even the information that is having, that as we are talking, we don't have. Does it make sense? That it can? Thank you very much. I wanna, yeah.
Yes, Chairperson. So I was just wondering, to where someone in our staff, they took minutes and will actually help us draft a list of everything that we will need from Mr. Sehume going forward if we discuss this. But the second thing I wanted to Peter Merritsburg, I stressed and again I'm for the second time we are one the readiness report. If we come for a hearing like this, we need a readiness report 2 or 3 days in advance to say that what did you do, who did you call, who's coming, did they confirm? We went through that exercise quite extensively, and it's not done. Chairperson, I want to squarely and with respect also, put the blame on you as the chairperson of this committee. We cannot forever blame the... We're not working with the staff. We're working with you as the chairperson. I want to put the blame squarely on you because I think you need to make sure that everything is in order when we come here. We don't deal with the staff as members. You understand? And that is where I think respectfully we must also honor your position as chairperson. Chairperson, let me wait on
Honorable.
I conclude.
Honorable Manobola and Honorable Michael following.
Okay. Sir, thank you very much. I think then with the absence of the stakeholders or respondents, it's not a truth, right? The official, the team can identify the relevant stakeholders based on what additional information has been provided to us now here, then write letters and request them to respond to certain allegations. I think the secretaries must have made notes to other issues, and knowing very well what is the petitioner seeks from us, that will be able to assist us to direct towards making a conclusion and making a recommendation. That's why I'm asking that if we can do that, then be able to ensure that that next time when we meet, we take the minutes of this hearing, and also we must consolidate the response of all the stakeholders or identify respondent in make one document for us to be able to peruse it. And also making a appeal that document should be provided to us in advance so we'll be able to peruse it. And also, and I think the time that he engaged after this meeting engaged with Resume, he must also make, when he make copies, maybe brief summary towards all the letters that has been then attached, or the relevant letters speaks to this case with regards, the first one is with regards to the dismissal, the second one with regards to the case, to the divorce. I just want to make an appeal that we next time when we meet, and I think Secretary Hawood, I just want to talk. This, it can't be. I will it. So, we will tell you about the other situation. I want to teach which one of this one doing this is deliberate.
Our patient
will
run out.
Yeah, but no, for this one. I think Chet is following you. You will translate it to us. But I just make that appeal, Chet. Let us conclude it and say we close it this way that we do feel it. Resume is presented to us, but in a way forward, that must get response from the stakeholder respondents and SAS, and also other outstanding documents that the resume makes reference to now here in this hearing, because there are some missing documents when we peruse the document that has been forwarded to us. Thank you.
Chairperson, because the proceedings of this meeting have been captured electronically, I think other utterances that have been made, if they can be left unattended, they might remain with the impression that we concur with other statements. I'm referring to a statement that the chairperson should fully take the blame. And you can recall from the first meeting that side, some of us refrained from specifically linking any shortcoming to a particular name or make an attachment of a particular name or an individual. Instead, we condemned the processes. And for the benefit of affording any person an opportunity to give clarity, we said, let's further take the matter to the highest level, which is extending an invite to the immediate manager. I think we did that simply because we didn't want to be premature in terms of our findings and determination. And I think it would also be premature for us to say the chairperson must fully take the blame, simply because most of the time you relate to us as honorable members that this is a newly approach, and hence in terms of the study tour, we felt that we should give preference to this committee so that we should be able to develop a particular model that would really enhance our work and proceedings as a committee. Hence, if you check, even last city where you met in KZN, you even went to an extent of discussing, if I'm not mistaken, the guidelines that would be helpful. responsible in terms of ensuring that whatever that we'll be doing is within a particular parameter in terms of operation. So I would really ask the same. Let's refrain by all means to be premature. Let's afford that interaction on our chair with the manager in charge, where we'll be able to ventilate. And I think in that particular level, that is where we'll be able to apply with the attorney to give the other side a chance to relate one of the frustrations. Because in most instances, you might conclude only to find that other shortcomings are immaterial. You know, so we are saying, please, for the benefit of the petitioner and for the benefit of the committee itself, let's try by all means to refrain from any concluding statement without necessarily having a determination in terms of findings. However, condemning the shortcomings doesn't necessarily mean a particular individual has already been put an albatross over his or her neck. In this case, I'm just saying, let's give any person a benefit, let's deal with what is before us with understanding that all the substantive issues that are really frustrating the operations of the committee should be dealt with. But equally, we must take collective responsibility.
Thank you, Honorable Martin. Honorable Tim. Moving towards
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I compare with Honorable Malikule. But Chairperson, I think that the stakeholders be summoned to come in front of this committee. Let's not deal with them in writing. Because once we correspond with them in writing, otherwise, you know, won't get exactly what happened. If we can summon them to come in front of this committee and grill them here in this committee, it would be better. I don't think it's wise to write to them and answer where they are staying, or rather summon them to come here and ask questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you, and that is all.
And that being, because I've now recalled that I never told you about my status as far as my job designation. There are certain things that I may have omitted from my presentation. And I'm supposed to be giving Mr. Magima the file to make copies. And at this point in time, I'm not in a position to be perusing through my file to give him 7 copies. I've got to make sure that in my presentation, all that I've said is covered, plus certain things that I've omitted are there. Now, you see this thing of going chop-chop over issues. I'm supposed to be going home tomorrow morning at 7. And I'm exhausted. I've got to go and sleep now. And then in the morning at 7, they take me to the airport. Whereas I wanted to be with Mr. Magima at least for 2 hours, giving him the copies, which we cannot do now, right now. You get it?
I think that part, you talk to Magima, they will manage it. It's not a trained mesh. It's not doesn't, you know, like this issue. It still be possible to be managed. You will look at the areas that you wanted to still do with him and then provide it to sufficient. Honorable members, thank you once more again, and that is whom. Honorable.
Yeah, Chair. Thanks.
Push it a bit away from you.
No, thanks, Chair.
That's away.
No.
Okay,
it's fine, Chair. It's fine.
It dropped the record in the side.
Okay. Okay. I think it's fine, Chair. Chair, just an interest-seeking question. Matima, as a secretary, I believe he does have a secretary and an assistant. Where is he or his assistant? It's for interesting, Chair, because we believe that as the secretary will be afforded an assistance, and where is his assistance as of now? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
must I think through the chair, rather the management respond to you.
Fine. Can we not, give Bob Mr. Sehume the impression that everything is not up and running? We have agreed that we'll find a slot where the managers are to explain to you what exactly is taking place. Please, Matima, get the papers that is in the Deshuna's possession and make them files. I'm seeing also this that we did not have in our preparations. Make sure that every member you prepare their file with all the necessary information in it so that we are giving ourselves the best that we can provide in order to arrive at the determination. What will happen, Honorable Members, is we will then do a checklist as to who do we want to take this matter to its logical conclusion. Very obviously, the provincial government of Gauteng. What is the name of the institution you were in?
Tara Hospital.
T-A-R-A. Tara Hospital.
And
Tara. The name of the hospital? Yes. But the document says Tembisa Hospital. Then it should be corrected because you are confused.
I'm asking this because the same distorted information was related to me and there was then this whole institution. I wanted him to say it in your presence. Tara Hospital. Where is the institution based in Gauteng?
Hullingham in Sandton.
In Sandton.
It was previously a White Hospital.
Okay. So thank you very much, and we will outline the procedure to be followed when we have got all the necessary documents. The day we will then reschedule. What we will do, Mrs. Ume, we will continue with the meeting of your petition to engage other stakeholders. If the need arises that you still have to reappear for some further information, you will be contacted for that matter. But all in all, at the end of the issues you have raised with ourselves, we will relate to you our determination to say, after looking at all your presentations, the committee arrived at this particular determination with whatever recommendations that the committee will arrive with them. So we will communicate them back to yourself at the time that we are satisfied we have done everything in our hands. And then thank you very much for being patient with us. It has been a long day. We know that you should have been by now maybe back home. But because of the situation you have seen, you have understood that we wanted not to leave you without giving us the necessary information in order to prepare us to do the work. We thank you for that patience.
So, and the next time you meet, you must get an opinion of a labor relations specialist, because he'll be able to tell you that this was not dealt with fairly, this and that and that.
We will, Papa. We will. The parliament itself has got the legal unit, which will also provide us. We received an announcement. We are not going to deal with other agenda items, honorable members. I guess we will be demanding too much out of yourself. The only one that I thought we should communicate is honorable demand, we have received an inquiry from the India. They are now asking us, are you still coming? Can you confirm whether you are coming or not? and the response that we have given to them for today was the committee have not yet finalized whether they are coming or not coming. So can we please find a way of getting out of this, you know, bottleneck? We should know whether he's there or not there. It doesn't help. You know, no, it's no. We may feel dissatisfactory, but it will make us to plan and then continue with the work of the committee, unlike sitting where we are in a pure dark. You know, we are unable to plan for that week, either because we are not going to be here. Because you would imagine, if we don't go to India and then that week arrives as we are, it will then become a wasteful week, because we should reschedule our program in terms of knowing that we are not going to India. So I thought it was important just to let you know that we are now also starting getting pressure from the India that we have approached them, we have started them. Anything?
So I was going to ask, who's supposed to do what? Who's supposed to sign? Who's supposed to approve? If not, why?
It is after we have signed, we take that to the house chair. The house chair, if he signed, he will give to the chief whip. Then we'll know that everything has been authorized. So, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until the 19th.
Thank you.